Unscripted, the most hilarious, frustrating, and incredible podcast. For this episode, I am your host, the one and only, the magical, the ever snarky, Sasha Kaplan. And joining me today is the man with all of the fabulous opinions, the man I think I agree with on the show more than any other host, is the magic, the bearded king, Mr. Ben Taylor.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing?
Suffering. That is how we're doing.
Yeah. Like, do you remember when we were finishing out season 3 and we just finished watching the Alien Rangers saga?
Mm-hmm.
We were doing the finale.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, oh, we're so looking forward to doing Power Rangers Zeo.
Yeah, you're regretting that now, aren't you?
I mean, it's still better than summer season 3. But the spoiler alert for those of you listening in, these three episodes that we're reviewing today are not good.
I mean, if I had to give tags to these episodes, it would be the awkward lovers in baseball, the Lassie episode,
uh-huh.
And torturing children.
Mine are called, so the first one is Rangers in the Outfield, which I called AKA, I blame this episode for Turbo.
you're going to have to elaborate on that.
Yeah. And then Every Dog Has Its Day, AKA, Cat is Bad at Selling. And The Puppet Blaster, AKA, this could have been a really good extended episode if they put some thought into it.
Fair. So our first episode, so as we've just explained today, we're reviewing Rangers in the Outfield, Every Dog Has Its Day, and Puppet Blaster. And yeah, we watch these episodes so that you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're planning your Zia rewatch, definitely skip these utterly. You could just like look up clips from the cute parts of these episodes, which there are a few. Right, but in general, you can pretty much skip them.
Few is an overstatement.
Like two. Most of them involve Adam.
Yeah.
And so let's start then with Rangers in the Outfield, which is about baseball.
And let's get this out of the way. Right at the beginning of this episode, it's about quote unquote baseball. The very fundamentals of the sport that they are teaching and showing on the screen are flawed.
You don't say.
Like, yeah. Like, just to get it out of the way, there is so much wrong with what they put on the screen for it to be called baseball. It's closer to softball than baseball, for one.
Okay, so wasn't the only one that thought Tanya's pitching was weird.
And I don't even like baseball. She was pitching underarm, yeah.
Okay, so I'm not crazy. I was like, something about this doesn't add up, but like, yeah. I don't know baseball.
And not just that, for this star pitcher that can knock any batter out, it's the slowest pitching I've ever seen.
Yep.
And on top of that, there was a note on the Ranger Wiki, right, for this episode that says, in this episode, you get to see the lady who plays Nakia Baris. The note is literally, Nakia Baris displays her real life skill of playing baseball. She does.
Oh,
also,
okay.
Throw that hard, right? If she's that good of a pitcher, there is no way on earth a coach is going to leave her in the game till the ninth inning. Right? Not only that, on her first game. And on top of that, she was supposed to be this be-all, end-all pitcher, right? But then everyone in the ninth inning gets a hit on her. Yep. And then when someone points that out to her, she gets pissy about it.
Yeah, this episode is just
bad.
Yeah.
Is the word you're looking for.
I feel like the word bad just doesn't, we've used that episode, we've used this word so much over the course of the last three seasons that I'm just like, can I think of another word that isn't bad, but it's the only one that applies. It's just kind of there.
It's the only word we can use on a PG podcast to describe this.
That's fact. And even like on Wikipedia, right? It says when Tanya exhibits a natural talent for pitching, it makes her boyfriend Sean jealous. And then she strikes him out and he get like, okay. Also, can we just like talk about the unnecessary sexism of this episode?
Yes and no.
Not the end, not the part at the end, but there's a part in the beginning after Sean is like basically a whiny little baby about getting struck out. They're like, he and his two friends are like walking in the hallway.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you got, you know,
you got struck out by a girl.
And I'm just like, really? We didn't get enough of this in the, I know it's the 90s, but like, did we not get enough of this in the like last three seasons? But just, it was just so unnecessary. Like, especially because they've already established that Sean is kind of a terrible person in the last few episodes, like in a previous episode.
Yeah.
So
can we also point out that Sean and what's her face, Tanya, started dating in what, episode 3? Right.
Tanya, like on her first like official, like when she's like at Angel Grove, right? This is like, and she's talking about like, oh, I don't have any friends yet. I'm like, you literally have 5 friends.
Not just that, she has literally been in this time zone. She has been not part of an African tribe for 3 episodes of television before she gets a boyfriend. And now 3 episodes later, they break up.
I mean, that was kind of doomed from the beginning, but the fact that, like I don't really remember much of Tanya.
Because she's incredibly forgettable.
Yeah, like, I don't get it. Like Karen Ashley, I remember vividly for some reason.
Because they put some time into her and introducing her before she showed up and all of this other stuff. And once she was there, they kind of developed Aisha at least slightly, right?
Yeah.
But Tanya, and I talked about this in the finale of everything that happened last season. But Tanya should be running around going, what's this? And holding up phones. She's from a tribe in Africa 10 years ago.
And we know for a fact that she was like, she grew up her entire life in the tribe, right? Because they make a point of that during ZeoQuest, don't they?
Yeah, like her parents were explorers who went missing, which is a plot later in this season when they get Auric, right? Or is it this? Or is that in Turbo? I can't remember. Either way, like they reach out and they're like, oh, this is the thing we were trying to look for. And she gets this superpower guardian. But like she was with the tribe from when she was like 6 months old.
Yeah, like so that. She wouldn't have any idea of like...
She should be running around going, holy crap, shoes! You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I think, well, first you're asking way too much from Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Because we talked Kimberly was replaced by Catherine, and you mentioned last season at the end that like, she's not that much different from Kimberly.
Right.
And so I feel like they're sort of almost doing the same thing, except they're sort of trying to make Tanya different from Aisha, but they're sort of just kind of not really developing her.
But again, the thing that made Aisha at least slightly memorable is she was different from Trini.
Right. Yeah.
In so far as that she had a personality that was her own. She wasn't just there to support everyone else's thing. But Tanya feels way more plug and play than Aisha did. Like, these could be an Aisha episode.
But it's not.
See what I mean?
Yeah. With, like, Aisha, as terrible as they were, she did have some episodes that were devoted, a couple episodes that were devoted to her. But even then, you know, she had things that were just hers that weren't the same as, like, say, Kimberly, which was like she became passionate about animals towards the end, and there was that whole thing of her being a fire marshal. We'll get into
it the next episode we review.
But Adam has stuff to do in this episode.
Really? Because it felt to me like Adam and outside of the little bat and cage stuff, right? It felt to me like they were afterthoughts.
I mean, like, it sort of felt like they just wanted to do a baseball episode and then remembered this was supposed to be a Power Ranger show, so they like quickly wrote in a plot in between.
And where's Tommy? Like,
who?
He's barely in the episode.
I have no problem with that.
Okay, I'm not complaining about this fact, but my point being that, like, with this episode and the next episode, especially when we talk about Every Dog Has His Day, it is very clear that there were times when not everybody was in a recording session. Like, it's bad. Like, there's a moment in this episode where Rocky and Tommy run off to meet Adam, right? That's in the next episode. No, that's in the next episode.
Because in this one, Rocky gets kidnapped.
Yeah, Rocky.
For like a hot second.
That's what it was.
He's kidnapped for 5 seconds.
Rocky takes off his Xenizer to play baseball in a batting cage.
Which, like, these are like pretty big, like, wrist units that, like, they're gonna be a lot more visible than, like.
Right, but Adam's got his on.
By the power of plot convenience. Maybe Adam was gonna be doing more coaching than pitching or hitting or whatever, baseball things. But yeah, it's. But we've also talked about the fact that Rocky's not the smartest Power Ranger.
Yeah, but I will go back to my analogy of him being unable to find his way out of a room with a single door. he's not the brightest spark in the electric. You know what I mean? We also get Bulk and Skull being police people. Being assigned to pick up trash.
Kudos for them for knowing what the word refuse meant.
Yeah.
That was a big step up for them.
Why are the police picking up trash?
Because the economy of Angel Grove is not.
Right.
But also remember, they're junior policemen, so maybe some community service is part of their duties because they're junior policemen, so they're like limited in what they can do.
Like, yeah, okay.
I mean, look, it's Angel Grove. No one ever. This is a city that, by all accounts, should not be able to function, and it clearly doesn't because
we'll get to that. We'll get to that. And then after Rocky's been absorbed by this machine, right, The Cogs get hold of a Xeonizer.
And do nothing with it.
Do nothing with it. They don't, like, leave with it.
No, they do leave with it.
Or take it to the moon.
But they do leave with it, I thought.
Well, no. When I mean leave with it, I mean, like, leave the planet. Like, just go away.
Oh, yeah. They're like, well, we have this. We don't mean we can just, like, celebrate and do whatever Cog things do.
Yeah. And then... there's this weird chase scene once all of the other Rangers have arrived and morphed, which involve the Rangers in various forms of travel and transport, driving around trying to play keep away from the Cogs with Rocky Xeonizer. You know, and this is where my, this is why I blame this episode for Turbo, because both Adam and Tommy are in go-karts and they're driving along.
I thought the Cogs were driving the go-karts.
Yeah, they're chasing Adam and Tommy.
Oh, yeah. I appreciated one part, greatly the Cogs in the go-karts. That was funny.
And there's one part... where Cat is doing a chase scene in a paddle boat. And it's only her in the paddle boat. So she's in one side of the paddle boat, paddling both of her legs off, reaching over and trying to drive it at the same time.
When she paddle can teleport. Boats
are two persons.
When she can teleport.
When she can teleport.
Yeah.
This episode is so bad.
Yeah.
And then... sorry, carry on.
No, I was going to say, let's go through the other two episodes and then we'll talk about the villains and Vulcan Skull in these three episodes.
I have one last question for you. Why is Ernie commentating the school baseball game?
Because everybody needs a hobby.
Right.
Because they have a limited cast.
Yeah, that's true.
Because the actor just really likes baseball.
Maybe, I don't know.
Because Angel Grove has no people in it.
Yeah, abandoned warehouse district. It's not like you have like five very competent voice actors playing your villains or anything.
Yeah, but like ADR,
like two lines of dialogue.
No, not allowed.
Nah,
you'd have to pay them more.
Yeah,
and we all know how well being a Power Ranger pays, let alone a voice actor for Power Rangers. All right, so I guess we can move on to Lassie Comes Home. I mean, Every Dog Has Its Day,
aka Cat Is Bad at Selling.
Yeah, so Catherine trained a dog. That's it. That's the episode. Catherine trained a dog and the dog is useful. That is the episode.
So we get to see the jet cycles, right? The Zeo jet cycles.
I do like those better than those stupid, weird
shark
looking
cycles. Yeah. And they aren't, unlike the shark cycles, they're used throughout the entire season as well.
Oh, good.
Which is my first initials when I first watched Zeo. My first thought was, oh, look, new toys. But no, they are used throughout the season. They're actually a major part of O-Ranger, because in O-Ranger, the Sentai that Zeo is adapted from, they don't have the ability to teleport, which you'll notice is something that Power Rangers got away from pretty much after Zeo. Like, Turbo, you don't really have the ability to teleport. Even in this in space, they don't have the ability to teleport. So yeah, the jet cycles is kind of how the O-Rangers got round on the ground, right? I reached out to Brian about that one. I was like, help. but yeah, it is worth noting that the jet cycles aren't just like a one and done. They are used a couple of times, which is quite nice. But yes, let's get to the most pivotal part of this episode, which is Kat, the high school student, trains a police rescue dog as a civics project.
But it's a really cute dog.
It is a very cute dog.
Look, it is a cute little shepherd, and he's just so fluffy and adorable.
It is a very, very pretty boofer.
I do like the fact that, like, instantly after she's trained him, we see a demonstration of his skills, because Ernie, despite owning a diner juice bar thing
for a decade or more at this point,
right, like, forgot and left pizza in the oven. But it's fine, he got distracted
because he has no other staff working in that huge building. It's just him.
I mean, I think it is just him. Have you ever seen a waitress?
No, that's my point. Is but can we go back to the fact that a high school student, and not even a senior, she's a junior? Is that what the
is
second?
Is she?
Because they graduate in Turbo.
Right, but we don't actually know how long, how... Time in Power Rangers is weird.
I'm working off the theory that each year of Power Rangers is a year in real life. Because that's the kind of accepted canon.
I don't
by
think...
By the fandom.
So that I don't think is canon. Because that's definitely fanon, because a lot of the seasons carry over from the exact moment they ended, right?
Yeah.
There's no time jump between Zeo and end of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Therefore, it's the same year. So they could be juniors at this point. They could have been juniors and sophomores and juniors.
Well, she's either a junior or she's a sophomore.
Yeah. But you could argue that... You could make the argument, potentially, because I haven't rewatched all of Zeo and Turbo, that they also take place during the same year. Because they graduate in the Turbo movie, though, don't they?
No, they graduate in the first episode of Turbo.
Okay, so then Zeo is their senior year.
Yeah.
So they are seniors.
All right. So let's just say a senior in high school.
Yep.
Is how old?
17, 18.
Is able to effectively train a police rescue dog with no qualifications. And her reasoning is, I used to help the police do this back in Australia.
As a child.
Is it me, or does this feel like this might be a discarded plotline they had ready for Aisha?
You know what? I think you're right. This would have fit Aisha so much better. Because Aisha wanted to go to vet school and work with animals. And
it's absolutely an Aisha plot, right? And if you do it for Aisha, all you have to do is, like, you don't say she trained it. She said she helped rehabilitate it. Like, it got injured during work, right? She'd formed a bond with it while it was in the veterinarian hospital.
Yeah, and you can say, oh, the dog just passed its requalification or something.
Yeah, and she's bringing it back to Lieutenant Stone and Bulk and Skull, and that's when everything kicks off, right?
That would have been a great Aisha episode.
It would have been a great Aisha episode. But nope, Kat.
Well, we don't have Aisha, so we have to do something with all of our recycled plot material that we didn't use in season 3. because we're lazy writers, I don't know.
Yeah.
No offense to the writers of the show. Well, maybe some offense to the writers of the show, honestly.
We also have, for the second episode in a row, a ranger losing their Zeonizer. This Kat loses hers.
Yep. And then instead of, like, teleporting to the command center or something, she gives the dog
There is a reason for that, because her communicator is damaged.
Oh, that's right. Fine.
So I'll give her a pass on that one, right? There was actually some storyline logic to that one. What there isn't storyline logic to, though, however, is when Kat twists her ankle.
Mm-hmm.
Partway through,
mm-hmm.
and then just forgets to sell it I'm using wrestling terminology, forgets to act like her ankle is hurt for like 10, 15 minutes.
And then twists
it again in the fight with the dude after she's morphed.
Well, there's a little bit of a gap in there because the dog shows up. I don't remember Lassie's name. Wasn't his name something stupid like Smokey? That sounds right. Are you talking
about the dog?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, anyway, so the dog shows up and then...
Yeah, Smokey.
Okay. Yeah, so the dog shows up and we actually do see her sort of limping as she's running away with the dog.
Right. And then...
Then, yeah.
Then she stops selling the ankle for about 10 minutes, gets her Xenonizer back, morphs perfectly. Then in the fight, after she's morphed, retwists her ankle. And then is instantly fine right after that.
The Zeo Crystal powers. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, the acting on the twisted ankle was... it was there.
We've been quite clear that acting is not Kat's forte, shall we say.
Yeah.
Right.
I say this as somebody who's not an actress, but somebody who has twisted their ankles on far more occasions than I'd like to admit. And I don't know, it felt more like, ow, I accidentally stepped on a piece of glass, but now I'm fine. And it didn't even bleed. Ow.
Yeah.
It was just like a little overkill on a twisted ankle.
Yeah. I think... Again, we're coming at this as the point of view of people with some sort of experience in the world, but I think just to oversell the ankle twist is just to get the message across to the children's, you know,
like, ooh, Kathleen got a boo boo.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. What were Bulk and Skull doing in this episode?
They had to watch the dog, but then they lost the dog, and then they found the dog, and then, yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah. 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 We've regressed with Bulk and Skull, haven't we?
Oh, yes. Oh, indeed we have. And it's sort of, I wonder if there was some kind of writer change and the writers just like didn't know anything about Bulk and Skull other than like, oh, these are the reformed bullies turn, they're the comedic duo, whatever.
So the guy who wrote this wrote 12 episodes of Power Rangers before this.
Okay.
Including a couple of very good Bulk and Skull episodes.
So was this, were they just like running out of time and they needed some plot fodder, so they just wrote something in for Bulk and Skull?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Also, I really don't understand the Zeo powers, not gonna lie. Just because I think a lot of them are like, they're just kind of there. But there's this moment in the fight where Catherine sort of Dragon Ball Z's it a little bit.
Right. So each individual Zeo crystal provides that ranger a power.
Right.
Like in the previous episode in Rangers in the Outfield, you saw Rocky doing the spinning kick.
Right. Okay.
The funny thing here is that she launches a fireball.
Yep.
At a monster based on a fire hydrant.
Yep.
Which amused the hell out of me. But yeah, each of the individual rangers apparently has a very specific attack that the Zeo Crystal gives them access to.
Well, okay then. Sure. So I do have one note here. I said, help, Catherine's stuck in a well, but no. And then the last note here, I says, and the Machine Empire would have gotten away with it too, if it wasn't for that pink girl and her dumb dog.
Yeah. My final note is a little more damning. And it's that the Rangers are back to disliking Balkan Skull.
Yeah, I caught that.
One of the things that we really liked with season three and through the end of the Alien saga was the evolution of the relationship between the Rangers and Balkan Skull, right?
Yep.
To the point where at the graduation, the Rangers are openly saying they're proud of Balkan Skull.
Mm-hmm.
But in this episode, they're back to laughing at them and kind of quasi-bullying them, poking fun at them.
And, like, they easily could have, like, there's that scene when Lassie brings back the communicator.
Yeah.
And the Balkan Skull are like, oh my gosh, we found the dog, finally. And then the Rangers are just like, okay, they're taking the dog. Instead of like, hey, she brought Catherine's scrunchie and like, we need to save Catherine.
Yeah.
They're just like, ah, we'll figure it out.
Because you know if, and you know if Tommy and he had turned around and gone, look, Smokey says that Catherine's in trouble. Balkan Skull have been like, well, let's go.
Right? No, because exactly.
That's how they were built up in season three.
Yep.
They did it for Kim with the taxi.
Follow
they
that cab.
It. Yeah.
And remember the episode last season with the kids when they literally jumped into the water. And I think that actually serves as a really good segue for this last episode, which is Puppet Blaster, which is...
Yeah. Yeah. I called this... It had the opportunity to be a much more interesting, longer episode with some thought.
Yeah. It's a lot of kids they brought in to act like zombies. That was pretty fun.
And one kid thought acting like zombies meant opening her mouth and be like,
argh. Yep.
And she's the only one that does it.
But what I really liked in this episode was we actually see Tanya being trained, because they established in the premiere that Tanya doesn't really know how to fight. There's that whole thing of her like, oh, I shouldn't be I should be the one to step away and not be a ranger because I don't have fight skills and I'm new. And so here we see Adam helping train her, showing her how to do a kick right and how to punch better. And so I actually really appreciated that, because we don't really see the Rangers like training as much.
We're in this weird space, right? Because we know that there is a certain level of what has become known as memory transference, right? Mm-hmm. Knowledge transference.
Yeah.
Like the moment the original Rangers used the coins for the first time, they instantly knew how to pilot the Zords. They instantly knew how to do certain things, and they were better at fighting.
Right.
Like Billy, when he is morphed, is a much better fighter than when he is not.
Yep.
Right.
Same thing with Kimberly.
Same with Kim. Then we fast forward to Rocky, Adam, and Aisha.
Yep.
The moment they morph, they instantly know how to pilot their Zords.
Yep.
When Kat morphs for the gets hold of the pink power coin for the first time, not only is she knows how to pilot Zords and everything, she gains the ability to fight.
Yes.
She's never needed to be trained. She could just fight. And now we're back to a Billy situation where Tanya can fight like she's Bruce Lee when she's morphed, but can't when she's not. That's never made sense to me.
Yeah.
Had it been that way with Catherine as well, it would have been a fact of, well, it doesn't communicate that skill to you when you're unmorphed.
At the same time, I get all of that, but the fact that like this is the first time we've seen a new ranger being trained to fight was actually kind of refreshing, because
I'm not saying that it isn't, right? I loved this scene.
But you're right. That it's just like, it's not an established norm.
Yeah. I wish we'd seen this with Catherine. I wish we'd seen more miscommunications with people or misunderstandings about vocabulary that they don't know or team formations they don't know.
But because we see a little bit of that in season's future, but
yeah, but with Rocky, Adam, and Aisha, they'd set up before they became Power Rangers that they could fight.
And then they set up the fact where they found out who the Power Rangers were so that they sort of learned the terminology kind of along. Yes, yes.
Right. But when Kat got the pink power coin, she instantly knew how to fight at unmorphed.
Well, we talked about the fact that Catherine was basically a Kimberly stand-in, right? Kimberly left, so they just flipped the switch and they kind of forgot to differentiate her.
But this is what I'm saying, is by having Kat not need to be trained when she picked up the power coin, it makes you wonder why Billy and Tanya didn't get the same sort of skills.
I think we're asking too much from the writers of Power Rangers at this point.
Look, it's my job to do this, okay?
One day, we will become very important people and make our own Power Rangers, and it will be amazing. Oh. But until that day.
Yeah. There's a line right at the beginning of this when they are showing Captain Doofenshmirtz and the Puppet Boy, where Tommy turns to Ernie and goes, "Ernie, it's really cool that you're doing this for the kids." And Ernie says, "Well, you got to give something back to the community." Like, he's not constantly doing so. He's absolutely constantly giving to that community. And this makes it sound like the only thing he's ever done.
Right, because like throughout this entire, like we've talked about this so much, but it's never ending. Angel Grove is a terrible place to live.
Yeah.
And
it is highlighted in this episode when after all the kids get hypnotized and they start causing trouble in Ernie's youth center, there are like 15 small children causing hell. And Ernie thinks, you know what I need to do? Call for the Power Rangers. Not just get their parents to pin them down.
But also, before that happens, though, the cogs arrive, right? And nobody has a reaction except the Rangers, who just don't do anything.
Yeah. 5-6 beings teleport through a rift, and no one reacts.
And so, like, you could argue that maybe the kids didn't know and they could have been part of the show. Which made me wonder, like, shouldn't people know that there's a new villain in the city and there's new foot soldiers? Like, come on. We had people running away from the Tangas.
Also, is the inference that Puppet Man is a robot?
Very confused about that, to be perfectly honest, because
he gets remote controlled by the Machine Empire, right?
Well, because they attach something to him.
Yeah,
but in the beginning it very clearly is a dude in a suit, but it's powering. There's a very simple explanation,
because someone who was able to invent that as a robot should be at MIT. Like, that is one of the most sophisticated robots ever.
Maybe it was a precursor to Dino Fury's, what do you call those? Jane Borg or whatever it was.
What's his face from Operation Overdrive?
Yeah, maybe that's where he got, I don't know. It's Power Rangers. Don't question it.
I will question it all I like. Thank you.
Well, in which case, there's a very simple explanation that we will never know the answer to.
But yeah. Also, the cog remote control thing is put on the dude's back.
Yep.
And then at the end of the episode, to free him, they have to chop off his nose.
I guess because he was transformed and the receiver shifted. There's a very simple explanation.
Yeah. But, also, and then...
Deep breaths. It's almost over.
There's a sequence when the Cog show up at the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Where a Cog gets splashed with water.
Yep.
And shorts out.
Yep.
Yet in the very previous episode, with the dog that we just reviewed, Cogs were walking in a river.
Yep. Consistency in Power Rangers.
It's not what.
And you wonder why the ratings started going downhill.
I'm going to give this entire episode of That's Not How Science Works and just leave it at that.
All right. It's been noted.
Also, there's a moment where the Rangers show up to confront the puppet dude.
Mm-hmm.
And he sends this block of kids towards the Rangers.
And they do absolutely 15, nothing.
15 zombie kids.
Yep.
If only the Rangers could jump real high over their heads or, I don't know.
Shoot
over them.
Or restrain them.
Because they're super tall, right? Like,
and they're super strong.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh my God, we can't hurt the children. Okay, move around them.
Then don't. Like, it's quite a sneaky thing here.
It was just so... These episodes were just bad. I did like the music though. When the kids are transported into zombies, I really liked the musical score there. It actually gave me some childhood flashbacks to something else, but
yeah.
I really enjoyed that. The music was good.
I like the whole premise of the puppet master as a villain is a very interesting one, right? As I said, with a little bit of rewriting and a little bit of care taken with the story, you could have got a really interesting 2 or 3 part story out of the puppet master as a villain.
You're asking right? way too much.
I know I am, right? Way too but much. And so, I guess the other thing we have to address, like we can't not address it, is the debut of the Defender Wheel, which will become a big thing this season.
The what?
The Defender Wheel, the big tire thing that Tommy pilots into the monster at the end.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there is something else that we haven't discussed in.
Oh, really?
There is something interesting that we did not discuss in any of these three episodes.
The distinct lack of Zordon.
We're gonna get to that, yes, okay. But no. The Machine Empire as a whole. Our big bad villain.
I was trying to avoid that.
We're going to have to. But the fact of the matter is like the design for the Machine Empire is really cool. They look cool. They have distinct voices. I like the design. But they are worse than Rita and Lord Zedd in terms of plot.
Yeah. Like we're going to say this a lot this season. And
so
we've
much.
Probably said it a lot in previous episodes. Bear yep. in mind, these are outside of the first episode, which is all four of us. This is the first time Sasha and I are doing episodes together, so it's the first time we're getting a chance to compare notes on the season. But yeah, it's not a good. Look, when you have an entire army at your disposal and kind of just
don't do anything with it
one by one.
Also, like Sprocket is a little piece of you know what, and I kind of want to kill him.
I think that's the point.
Okay, then although I do like the what's his name?
The problem I have with Sprocket is I can't not hear Rita. Because it's the same person doing the voice. Yeah. And I just hear Rita.
I don't know. I like our, I do like the little Scottish, what's his face, and his little clock, his little Orbis. Floaty thingy. I don't know their names.
So I have a huge problem with the Machine Empire in general. I don't like them as villains. One of the things that made Rita and to a lesser extent Lord Zedd so great is how expressive they were.
Yeah.
Right.
The well, even Zedd, though, like, even though you couldn't see his face, his body yeah. would shift and he would move around.
Yeah.
And you know, he'd like, grrr. You could feel the grrr when he got angry.
The Machine on part, you don't have that feeling.
Yeah.
Their faces are completely inexpressive. Yes, I am well aware that they're dealing with a lot of Sentai footage. But again, that's not an excuse.
Here's the thing though. They if you wanted to have cold machine villains, it could have been really, really good because we get that later in RPM.
Yeah.
Where well, you just have a tube with a bright light, but it's a creepy looking tube and it's a pretty
mean Zordon.
The evil Zordon. Even Zordon was more expressive. But anyway, you felt the intimidation, right? You felt like,
yeah.
Right here, you don't really feel anything. You're just like, wow, these are dumb plots.
Yeah, it's...
And it's like they're doing the same shtick Rita and Zedd were doing. They're just doing it badly.
Yeah.
At least with Rita and Zedd, they tried to be more elaborate with their schemes. There were opportunities and they took them to do something different, to you know, launch an invasion, to, you know, to take the Zeo crystals, do something.
Yeah. Like, I have a question for you. And answer me this honestly. If you're a robot of some form,
mm-hmm.
Why would you have a Scottish accent?
Why not?
Right.
Maybe the guy who programmed me was Scottish.
Sure. Okay. that aside, I have a really big problem with, like, you know how they make the monsters grow, right?
Yeah, the
Rita did the big beam from space and Zedd put a grenade in their hand and they threw it on the ground.
And then Zedd and Rita would like cross their staffs yeah. and like zap them.
This dude shows up, swings a thing around his head, hits the monster that's fallen over. The thing pops its head out, speaks for a couple of seconds, shoots it again, and then it grows bigger. Just blow up the thing while it's on the monster. Rangers are stood right there. Just shoot Orbis. Game over.
This is why I hate long morph sequences. For similar reasons, but yeah.
The difference being a morph sequence isn't supposed to be happening in real time, right?
That's true. No, I don't mean the like actual sequence. I mean the like...
The gestures,
yeah. Like that was my big thing with one of the latter seasons was a very long
like morph. Like Dino sequence. Fury.
Yeah.
The morphing gesture in that is stupid. But yeah, like, I'm just stood there like, just shoot it. You have guns.
But in the same way that like the Rangers didn't do anything when the cog showed up, they're like, no, we have to wait for them to do something. Why? You know they are here to cause damage. This is not, they're not humans wearing out. Well, okay, they are humans wearing out.
I mean, they are, but yeah, I know what
for
you
the,
mean.
For the purposes of within canon, they are robots that are programmed to cause chaos and hurt people. Mm-hmm. Why would you give them time to hurt people? Even if you don't know what they're doing, they're not human, they are machines. Destroy them, ask questions later.
Yeah.
Like, this is not like, I understand, like, when, remember when Zedd would, like, take something or someone and transform them into a monster? Then it became a little bit trickier, right?
Yeah.
But here, they're just machines. Like, not that big a deal. Okay, yeah. So then let's talk
about... I don't know, it's just... The Machine Empire as a whole is inherently flawed.
Yep.
Because they have an entire army on the moon that they never use.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Anyway.
Like, if they had, if, like, there are, like, if, let's say they had invaded, right, in the like, and then, like, maybe Rita and Zed put up a fight, and they caused some serious damage to the Machine Empire with magic, because magic versus machinery, like, it's possible, yeah. Right? But, like, there's no explanation, and there's just nothing. There's just nothing. They're just there.
Also, they're fighting a bunch of machines, right? Yep. Why does Zordon and Alpha not just EMP the moon?
That would be awesome. Why isn't Billy building a giant EMP device to EMP the moon?
Ion cannon the moon.
Because Power Rangers doesn't know science. But in these three episodes, you mentioned this earlier, there is a very clear absence of Zordon, but that is because Zordon is not necessary.
No.
Like, Billy has, like, you could easily take Zordon out, like, say Zordon died during the explosion of the command center.
Yep.
Put in Billy as the new mentor because he's techie and he's been a ranger literally longer than everybody else. And that's it. Keep Alpha because Alpha's awesome.
Like, there's a sequence in the last episode we reviewed, I think. I'm not looking anything up. I'm trying to remember. In the last episode we reviewed, this one, the Puppet Blaster, where they're trying to figure out where how to counteract the psychic effect, the hypnotic effect. And in previous seasons, that would have been Zordon.
Yep.
And Zordon would have been like, Rangers, you must blah, 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 hogger, flagger,
propane
accessories. And then Billy's just like, here's the facts, go do it. And they're like, okay. And it's so much better.
There's also a moment where they try to do that with Zordon. I think it was in Every Dog Has Its Day or something. But basically Zordon is like, ah, Billy, you must do this and this. And I'm like, Billy's not new. He knows what he's doing. Just let him do it. Because he was clearly doing it as Zordon was
probably already done it, yeah.
But it's just... do you feel Billy's absence as a ranger? Because I really feel it.
Yeah.
Like,
and I'll have talked about this before, but like... Because I've probably mentioned this in another episode by this point. But yes, I definitely I feel the absence of Billy a lot, because I don't feel an attachment to Aisha. Sorry, to Aisha's replacement, Tanya. I don't feel an attachment there. I don't feel.
Anything.
Yeah, and I know I joke a lot about how Adam is the greatest Power Ranger and all of that sort of thing, but like at this point he's kind of the only ranger I give a crap about.
That's a fact. Can concur, because we never liked Tommy.
Yeah,
Rocky's just there, and so is Catherine.
And I will say this, for those people who like Tommy, I'm sure they're invested in him at this point, right?
Yeah.
Good for them. That's cool. No problem. I will not say that Tommy hasn't had his time for people to get attached to him.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, Rocky has too. Not that Rocky's really done anything with it.
Yeah.
And the same could be said for Catherine.
Well, Catherine's only been here in like 2 seconds. Well, okay. Tanya's been here for 2 seconds. Catherine's been here for like 10 seconds.
Yeah. Even though they've been pushing Catherine really hard in the second half of season three after she took over from Kimberly.
And they're really not subtle in the episodes that lead up to this about Catherine becoming Tommy's new love interest.
Yeah, no, not at all. It's just, I don't know. Anyway, We're talking in circles at this point.
We're talking in circles. Yeah. So basic summary, these episodes are bad. Thanks for watching. Yeah.
Skip them.
Pretty much.
You've got, outside of the debut of the cycles and the debut of the Defender Wheel, neither of which are earth-shattering in any way, these episodes are completely skippable and never come back again.
Pretty much. So with that, Ben, on that lovely and uplifting note, where can the people find you on the social medias?
You find me over on Twitter at Bob T. Goldfish. You can find me doing a sister show to Voices from the Grid, Awesome Mania, which is a wrestling podcast I do with Michael and another friend of ours every month, where we sit down, we spend a few hours watching wrestling, and we riff alongside it, and you listen to the podcast while you're watching the pay-per-view that we're talking about. And you can find that at thxthockey.com/x75productions/awesomemania, because Michael decided to make everything way more complicated.
And with that, you can find me.
That silence tells you everything you need to know, folks.
Yeah, pretty much. So you can find me on Tumblr, geekgirl101.tumblr.com. I am the only one that is actually active on Tumblr. I cannot escape it. And of course, you can find me on Twitter complaining. Probably by this point, I have complained enough about Moon Knight, but that's where you'll find that. That's over on Twitter at Geeky Kaplan. That is Kaplan with a K after the greatest superhero in the Marvel Universe, Billy Kaplan. Fight me. And of course, on this show, which is txhthockey.com/VFTG or something like that,
VFTG.
Hopefully. And of course, Twitter, our Twitter account, VFTG_PR, where you can ask us questions. You can yell at us because you didn't like our opinions on a show. We will fight you back because we're snarky like that.
Yeah.
So Ben, it was a pleasure to be recording with you again, always.
One thing I do want to say before we go is I've had a couple of people message me asking me where my updates on the new seasons of Dino Fury are. And as I have replied to them, and I'm putting it on the air because I was doing a tweet along of when I watched it on the VFTG Twitter. I'm not watching season two till it's all out because I couldn't remember what happened in season one. So I'm just going to sit down and watch all of it in one go. And that's when you'll get my review. There you go.
Makes sense to me.
Yep.
So join Ben next time as he and Brian review more episodes. And after that, you'll be listening to Mike and me doing something else along the rest of the season as we alternate between hosting and co-hosting and existing. And yeah, of course, all of our amazing upcoming group episodes. So thank you so much for listening, and join our suffering next time.